Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Now, a Talk Radio 1210 WPHT special presentation.
It's the end of the world.
Hey, Neuro, let's put a trigger warning on trigger warnings.
I gotta take it on the other side.
Welcome back into another Other Side with Dan and Dorenzo. Dan Borowski here with Anthony Dorenzo, two 12th and WPHT producers. I work Dom Giordano. He works Kale and Company, Dawn Senslin, pretty much everything here at the 1210 WPHT. And Anthony, it's starting to heat up election season, man. Debates being thrown around and weak and gay now hitting the internet and going viral with this clip. How you doing, sir? Before I get let's put this away and let's do the salutations. How you doing today, sir?
I'm great. How are you, my man?
I could be better. Had a rough start to the week, but we're doing good now. And a lot has broken, man. Biden has challenged Trump to a debate in a Jump Cutty style video that looks like it's belonging on TikTok. Take a quick watch of that.
Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020. And since then, he hadn't shown up for debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice. So let's pick the dates, Donald. I hear you're free on Wednesdays. Oh. Donald Trump lost two debates.
Cut out the end. Cut out the end there. But Anthony, your thoughts, the strategy of Biden challenging Trump to a debate, two debates. What are you saying?
It's weird. They're going against the election and debate commission because they know that Kennedy has enough steam here. He's getting on enough ballots and he has enough support statistically that he would be on that stage. And whether you like RFK, hate him, it doesn't matter what your opinion is of him. He would definitely bring a lot of accountability for both of these people on the stage. Yeah. And now it very much seems like Trump and Biden, in my opinion, are working together to have a more orchestrated and controlled environment and, you know, try to box out a third party once again.
Yeah, it would be great to see RFK on the stage, but do you really think RFK would mop the two of them in a debate?
I think the separation there is, to me, is it really comes down to RFK is willing to tell the truth or at least debate an issue. Yeah. Biden and Trump, a lot of the time, I mean, you know, I guess Trump more so than Biden, but both of them, a lot of the time when they're asked a hard question, they don't answer the question. They do the typical run around the point and then end it with some platitude about their enemy. And that's, you know, essentially the conversation, which doesn't matter who you like. It doesn't really lead to an interesting or insightful conversation for voters, which I get it. Some people, apparently most people think that the debates don't matter anymore and that everyone has their mind made up.
Are you pro debate or anti debate?
I'm very much pro debate. I think it's insane how we're getting to this point where both candidates, you know, want to try to control the environment, let alone say if they'll even debate, which is insane.
RFK sounds like Kathleen Hepburn there. Hey, what's on the front of your baseball cap? Minnie wants to know.
Oh, this is the Hartford Yard Goats. Shout out to the Yard Goats. Yeah, up in
what is that?
They're a AA minor league team for the Colorado Rockies.
Why do they have a team in Hartford? It seems like
the Hartford Yard Goats. Yeah, I don't know, but I'd love to go to the Yard Goats games. So I still got.
Makes no sense for me for the Biden team to challenge Trump to any kind of debate. The bumbling moron. But I gotta say, I don't know if Trump's gonna be much better. It seems like he goes on these weird tangents, but. This was put together by who? Let me give him credit before we go there. This was Citizens Free Press, but an example as to why Biden might be a good matchup for Trump.
Let me start off with two words. Made in America.
I think it's a right for people that have bad at health care.
America is a nation that can be defined in a single word.
Y'all ready for this?
I was going to put him in put.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys.
Wait.
All men and women created by go. You know the thing.
If it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to. Anyway. We went for two reasons. One, to.
True international effort to pressure.
When they tried to do, we went you know, 54 states.
I have now decided that I'm very excited for any kind of debate that comes out of these two, because it will make it very meme worthy and very easy to do our job for the next couple of days after that. Speaking about meme worthy, man, who is this Valentina Gomez, Missouri Republican, running for Secretary of State? She's had like a couple viral videos pop up now, and is it working, this campaign, this strategy?
It seems fake. It seems like this is Parks and Rec, like back in the day, just watching casually. Like this seems fake. Like, her videos seem fake, kind of cool. I'll give her that. But you can't, like, this is the problem with the culture wars that we find.
But here's a taste of one of her videos. But this isn't the one that's gotten the internet hot. This is just an example of many, a multitude of videos that this Valentina woman has put out.
There's a lot of Hamas people coming for me on my social media. My address is public, so fuck around.
Love the image of her with
Beast. Beast.
I mean, she's getting noticed, right? The internet. But then she's puts this out, man. I don't know if this is much of a good idea. Take a listen to this. That's gone viral and gotten her some critique, some criticism.
In America, you can be anything you want.
Oh my god, dude. It's like that again. That seems fake. That seems like we told AI to make something about politics in 2024.
You think it's like a strategy of someone on the left? Maybe
it's like meme culture. I don't know.
Exploit Republicans. This one looks very AI like. Here's another one from Valentina Gomez. Why can't I get this up?
I was at Turning Point as an attendee, and this year I look forward to being a speaker and the next Secretary of State for Missouri at the People's Convention in Detroit, Michigan. What's impossible for us, it's possible for God, and I cannot wait to share with all of you what God has done in my life. Get ready. I'm bringing the fire to Detroit.
Yeah, Minnie says she's trying to be Lauren Boebert. I think that's kind of like she's trying to be the next Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, like saying stuff like that. Like, you really are just trying to get the liberal media to hate you off the bat. And then that gets you a bunch of fans, because if the liberal media hates you, like, all the people that hate them too will love you. So I think that's the strategy, kind of. And like,
what
memes.
Happened to sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me.
Preach.
You used to be strong, America. Now there's a bunch of pussies crying.
Oh my gosh.
And on
Weep.
Social media. I need the Lions of America to wake up and help me take this nation back from the weak men and women
that
have sent our sons and daughters to die in wars that they profit from.
Yeah.
General Flynn said it best. When there's war, there's a failure in diplomacy. And under President Trump, the world was at peace. And let me tell you something. I really miss those mean tweets right about now. President Trump, I have your back.
This woman, this is crazy. Like, it's just nuts.
She's almost like, well, Minnie, I still have it up there. She's like Lauren Boebert. I feel like it's almost even a step further than Lauren and Marjorie Taylor Greene. This is like...
In your face. Keep but I respect it. At least she's like speaking her mind, dude. Like, that's, I think so many people are
not enough. You can run all these guys over, man. For the small group of savages out there.
That's just her meaning Dana White. I didn't mean to have
this. Of course. Yeah. And it has to have that dramatic music. We get it. You know, we understand. You've made it in life because you met Dana now.
Chat members, would you vote for her? What are your thoughts? I mean,
I just think this is the kind of stuff that like creates the insane culture wars we see. I mean, I don't hate it. Like, a lot of the what she was saying about the wars and diplomacy, like, I totally agree with. So it's a lot to like take on the surface, and like palette wise, I think voters will be turned off by it. But I don't know. Could it work? I think it could possibly work in our current political system with how insane
things are. Can Trump employ this rhetoric for the debate?
It's hard for me to even say the word, to be honest with you.
Trump, I don't think can go there because they'll just totally villainize him. But she is a Latino woman.
Like, what's the reaction that you're hearing on like social media? You're on TikTok, Instagram. Is the pushback positive, like highlighting it? Or is it like, how can she say weak and gay? Is it seen as anti-LGBT? What are you seeing as?
Well, it depends on what your definition is of it. Like, you could ask people in that community, like, what do you think that means? Like, some of them are offended by it, and some of them will say, you know, you don't have to be a gay person to be called gay. Like, they just use it as like a word messing around with each other. But honestly, I think ever since we were kids, that's kind of gone away. Like, I don't really hear anyone kind of say it in that context.
So anymore. She wasn't, you don't think she was saying it literal? She was saying it in the sense of like a South Park almost?
Yeah. That's what I would figure. Like, you know, the way that like comedians will still kind of use it when they bring it up. But, you know, I think maybe it's just trying to get headlines, though. Maybe it's working when it's the first thing we're talking about. We barely know her. Yeah.
One more.
I am the only one who can unify the Missouri Republican Party. I have the biggest endorsements and the biggest platform in the entire state. Yet I get more support from the Arizona GOP than from my very own Missouri Republican Party. Clearly, this GOP is compromised, and they fear me because they cannot control me. I will do what is right for the people of Missouri, and let these corrupt clowns. I will make Missouri great again.
I hate the music. That's enough. It's so dramatic. I hear that on too many videos. So
where's she running? I'm not sure. Sue says it's Missouri Secretary of State, so it's not like it really matters too much anyway. I mean, important when it comes to voting and all, but
I mean, she's definitely confident. I'll give her that. And I you know, love or hate Trump, I think I'm cool with these politicians like wearing their heart on their sleeves and being totally honest. I think we'd be better. I think we've come to like accept a culture of people who just
it's important to have a filter though, because
yes, but I think all these other people have mastered lying to our faces and then turning around and screwing us. So like, what would you rather have?
Wait, hold on, Mini, explain yourself. Dan's more class than I previously thought. I'm a classy guy.
Dan has no class.
What?
I'm kidding.
Get out of here.
He's wearing a wrestling hat. Are you kidding me? He's classy.
No, it goes deeper than wrestling. Oh, you know what? Let's take a pause from Trump debate and all this and let's talk about, did you see the new portrait of King, the King?
The one and the only Gale King?
No. The actual King.
The actual King?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No? King Charles? Hold on. Now you bring this up. So there's like a whole new thing that his first portrait was released. And you know how like there's portraits of the kings?
Yeah.
He saw this?
Yeah.
So I'm talking about NWO and New World Order. And let's get into some Satanism conspiracies. Because if you take that picture, right? So the portrait, first off, I'll just pull up the portrait. King Charles portrait. Ba-ba-ba. It's very ugly. Looks so weird. Anthony, what's that?
Looks weird.
Yeah, your thoughts just in general on the portrait?
It lends itself perfectly to any sort of conspiracy and Satanist type of ideal. Just perfect, you know. Something you would see in memes about like what was hanging in Jeffrey Epstein's house. Like this is the epitome of that. So,
and it's really set the conspiracy forums off, dude.
Like, dude, I mean, look at it. Come on, you think that they thought that wasn't? This is what I'm talking about, dude.
What's with the red though? Like, why is he covered in red?
They're sending us a message, dude. That's what it is. They're sending.
Who's sending us a message?
They are. See? The New World Order.
See, that's calling attention. This is awareness.
That's why Jay wears it.
But no, watch, seriously,
look, they knew people would freak out over this.
No, so you mirror it. Dude, it's kind of creepy. What's going on here in the middle? Let's reduce the exposure a little bit. Let's reduce it more. It's kind of weird, man. Baphomet, or whatever that is. Well, there's two ways to look at it. You either have the head here, and then you have like the wings and the arms and you know the legs and that. Or then you have the bull looking skull thingy, you know. So,
well, I always say there's a reason we left England, and this continues to prove our point of why we left this godforsaken place.
Who do you think is the globalists that are trying to take over the world? Because obviously, if you're a fan of RFK, though, like you have to give some credence to. This is a little out there to think that an artist hid a message of Satanism in a picture of King Charles, but. there's obviously some kind of, I think it's pretty obvious, overarching power trying to change the world into their image. Bill Gates, those types, Klaus Schwab.
Either way, there's some sort of weird cult-like, some weird cult-like themes that we always see. Like, this isn't just like the conspiracy form going off. Like, this is stuff that they have done over and over again, and they don't tell anyone anything, and we all call them out and go crazy over it. But this, it just proves like the power structure in England. I don't know necessarily who is it, you know, like you've said before, I just think it's people with a lot of money, you know, like the people we know are like a Bill Gates, you know, even someone like a Fauci with like the gain of function. Like, I think they're all kind of working together for one goal, to be in one little group of elite people. And I think they really don't care what happens to everyone else. Is a lot of this, I think a little bit they are playing games. Like, it's a little bit a game of cat and mouse, because they know people are onto them, but they don't really care anymore. But at the same time, you know, I really just think it's them trying to get people to hate each other. I think at the end of the day, that's all. Like, it isn't necessarily as nefarious as we try to make it out to be. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it is them. They just pull a lot of the strings, and all of our communities get torn apart over it. At the end of the day, they still have the power to do that. And whether it's people like us talking about it, or, you know, your neighbors and trying to get everyone on the same page, it's impossible. And they know that. So I think it's like, you know, it's kind of them bragging that they won to a certain extent.
Like, it's like BlackRock, Blackstone, investors. But what's the ultimate ideal? Like, a society that's just run by corporate America?
I mean, we're
in conjunction with China. And I got to ask, like, a lot of these kids on college campuses are trying to blame the Jews, essentially, saying it's Zionists that are the globalists. And this war in Israel is a way to, I can't even follow along, to be honest, because it's hard for me to, you know, group the two together. Any credence to that there's something going on with Zionists in your mind? Or
I don't really think so. I mean, I think that just, it comes down to this: people with power make terrible decisions and continue to further divides. And I think whether that's Netanyahu or the leaders of Hamas, I think even if they think they're doing the right thing in the moment, they just ensue chaos and make their people, you know, even more miserable. So I don't think it necessarily comes down to those things. I really just think this comes down to people with money trying to do too much with their money and really just negatively affecting everyone else in the process.
Yeah.
I mean, they all control the government now. Like, the government, not that I want big government, but the government was created to limit like monopolies and nefarious activity. And at this point, the government's just a tool for these people and these companies to continue to do nefarious things and to, I mean, essentially ruin capitalism for someone who's trying to start a business or, you know, just live a middle-class American life.
Yeah. And I think of the housing market as a great example. Like, why are we letting corporations essentially hog private residences? It's I think that right there, plus coronavirus, are the two greatest examples that there is some kind of globalist. If you look at the pharmaceutical companies and the way they made so much money, watching Fallout, did you ever watch it with the lens of coronavirus, and any updates? Do you agree with that there?
I mean, I definitely see what you're saying. I think it creates this environment where people thought they'd never do something, and then they end up wanting to do it or feeling such a different way than they originally did, just because of what the isolation did to people and what losing their jobs and businesses did to people. Like, I think that, you know, in that sense, it is dystopian. Like, that we did see terrible and negative. Like, that showed you the inhumane nature and compassion, quote unquote, of government. Like, it shows that they don't give a shit about anyone or anything. You know, if all of us would have died in our houses, is that the way we should go out also? Like, I don't really think so. So it's, you know, how many people die every day in car crashes? Like, there is risks with everything. And I do think this group of people who thinks they know better than everyone else clearly has proven that they don't. And I think people have to fight back on that. Like, no matter what happens next, doesn't matter.
Do you think it was nefarious, like going to coronavirus, the release of the disease and all? Like, there's a part of me that really does believe the fallout. So what we're talking about here is a theory I had last week or 2 weeks ago, that the TV show Fallout is reflective of what happened with coronavirus, where you have an overarching organization that essentially drops bombs on its own citizens so it can sell them, you know, fallout shelters. My assessment was that this was the pharmaceutical companies dropping the bomb of coronavirus so they can solve it with their own vaccines and make tons of money off of that. And I look to the pharmaceutical companies. I look how far ahead they are now, man. And I just...
Well, and they're not allowed to be sued. There's all these loopholes. Dr. Fauci, like even...
And why are they... Like, why are we not allowed... The fact that we're not allowed to talk about it openly gives me credence that, you know, was this a manufactured crisis to make money for pharmaceutical companies? Or was it a manufactured crisis to garner more control? We don't know.
Even Democrats admit that. Like, Obama literally... he banned gain of function research.
Yeah.
And then look at what happened. They went to China. They went around, they found a workaround. And like, and even, you know, Jon Stewart, he went on Colbert and Colbert tried to poo poo him and silence him. But he's like, why do we have people in a lab like playing mad scientists? Like, that just doesn't sound like it'll have a good ending. Like, I understand they need to figure out how to make people healthy, but this seems like the wrong way to do it. And, you know, even that gets semi, like that clip, they tried to get him, they went to break very quickly. Like, they didn't want him to continue to riff off that. So, yeah, I mean, I think, again, it shows the control and the, really, the it peels back the curtain of how the government kind of is a conduit for all these places to do whatever they want with us, as long as they have enough money. You know, yeah. Oh, how much money do you have? Well, pay us. And yeah, sure, you could screw over our taxpayers. Like, that's the state of our government. And I don't care what you believe in. That's, you know, both parties kind of conform in that. And that's what we really need to push back on.
Many says retail pharmacy has negatively changed in the last 15 years. Yeah. And the thing is, the refusal for the government to act, and like, it far exceeds coronavirus. I mean, I think maybe it's the hat I'm wearing that makes me super conspiratorial today, but going back to the tents and the you know, all the university campuses, it seems like that's something organized by a higher entity to try to further divide. And it's creating like crazy, crazy, crazy people. And what's it doing to the future of America? Like, watch this kid at the Washington University encampment.
Nuts. Look at this guy.
Dude, are you on drugs or something?
Look at this guy. Look at this motherfucker. Hey, 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 hey,
hey, hey. Dude, are you on drugs?
Hi.
Like, that's not a functioning society. Like,
Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty. Rick.
I'm glad you like Rick and Morty.
Rick and Morty.
Who are you here with?
I'm a Fox 13.
But, like, it's just... What the hell's happening to our generation, man? It's...
I just think that's unfair, though. We can't get like that. That's what our hosts do. Well, first of all, there are people like that in every generation. There was like 60, 70-year-old people at these protest encampments, like making things worse. And then, you know, with tons of money and well off, and they're doing all this crazy shit, making it worse and worse. So, you know, I think this comes down to people want to ensue chaos. People love ensuing chaos, and people just are so misinformed on like all these issues. Like, I was just telling you, I kind of want I don't like big government, but I also want government to limit these things and to like create an environment for capitalism to thrive for the common man and to create the American dream. Instead, we have this crony capitalism where corporations and the government control absolutely the entire market for pretty much every single industry other than food and like service industries. And then in general, they decide who's the winners and losers of everything. And I think it creates this angst. It creates this environment where boomers aren't moving out of their houses or they're getting bigger houses. All of us can barely afford apartments. All the same companies own the same apartment buildings. So there's no competition. There's no undercutting. Like all these things, you know, our tax dollars are going to wars, whether it was the war items that were left over for Iran and Palestine to use after we fled there, or all the money we give to bomb Gaza over and over. Like, these are legitimate concerns. And honestly, I agree with a lot of the premises, but I think people just get angry and want to create chaos because they do feel hopeless and they think they've been sold something that's a lie.
I disagree with
you. To a certain extent, I was just going to say, to a certain extent, it is a lie, kind of, so that everyone's angry.
I know they're angry, but why? How have we gotten to a point in society where the number one option is to sow chaos rather than handle things in a respectful manner? Like it, just going back to globalism, or I just feel so much that this is ideological subversion. And the way that we see society right now is we have a culture, and you mentioned bringing up how I'm kind of making a target of the younger generation here. But I do think it's a very specific thing to the younger generation that there's some kind of mind rot that's taken hold in our generation that, and you're right, I think it is because people have become upset with the government, hopeless, feel hopeless. But I think that's largely driven by narratives that are designed to create chaos and division.
Well, I think parties play into that, though, too, and make their base so energized around it, or energized in almost a terrible way where they feel justified for violence almost.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I don't see, like when I was in college, I think people were pretty pissed off too. Not this pissed off. Like you saw, Occupy Wall Street and all. I don't think Occupy Wall Street was the level of idiocy that we're seeing here with, current society.
But there's no because there was more nuance then. Now, especially with like just everyone so quick to label and the headline and click, like, the insane nature of people really not looking for
any. How much do you blame social media?
I blame it a lot. That's kind of my point. Like, I feel like at least with the Occupy Wall Street stuff, like people were a little bit more informed and passionate because they were more informed. Now it's like, there's no nuance in this conversation. Like at least the encampment's broken up now, but if you and I went, like I was debating trying to get content at Penn. If I went and I tried to have a conversation with these people and I say, I agree with you. I don't want my tax dollars going to murdering people in Gaza. But I also, I don't want my tax dollars going to any sort of thing when it comes to this war, but you can't have that conversation with these people. And I think that is really the problem because there's not even an exchange of ideas. This is just anger and everything boiling until something happens. And like even people that agreed with each other, I feel like ended up creating chaos because of that angst and energy and lack of communication.
How much of it is performative in your opinion? Do these kids actually believe in the cause?
No, you're good. I think some of them obviously were kids that believe in the cause. And honestly, even if they were saying insane things like death to the Jews, like I'm such a free speech absolutist that like that's fine with me as long as you're not inciting violence and harassing
violence, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess
death to a group
that, there's a line there that we could argue, but you get what I'm saying. Like, I understand, like, there's a line between free speech and actually inciting violence and harassing a student as they're going to class and, like, making them feel legitimately threatened and scared, in that certain moment, rather than just standing there and having a chant and being in your corner and, staying with your group of protesters. Like, that, to me, it's two different things, and obviously each time with these encampments, it got worse and worse.
Yeah, I just feel like that comment though goes back to the double standard, because if you're chanting kill all any other ethnic group, it's instantly not allowed. And I guess where I settle is just unity. If we're gonna allow one, allow the other, or disallow one, disallow the other. I don't like the double standard.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Aaron Rodgers came out on the Tucker Carlson show explaining why he didn't want to run with RFK. You want to take a watch of that clip, Ant?
Yeah, go ahead, roll it.
Then you create these bills that have 40 different things in it, and we're spending billions of dollars to Ukraine and billions of dollars to Israel and billions of dollars to these college campuses. There's just a lot of issues right now that seem really un-American. And I think there's a lot of red-blooded Americans. People are like, how can Trump have such support? Well, people are fed up with it. And he speaks the rhetoric of like taking back, making America great again and stuff. My thing is, he had 4 years to do it and didn't drain the swamp. And whether he just got scared because of what he learned when he was in there, I think is very plausible. But that's why I was interested when Bobby came to me and said, would you think about being my running mate? And I said, are you serious? I'm a fucking football player. But I love this country, and I'd love to be a part of bringing it back to what she used to be. There's a great...
Did you think about it?
Oh, yeah, I thought about it. I definitely thought about it because I love Bobby, and I just wanted to hear what he had to say about it. And then you
reported that Aaron Rodgers, Bobby Kennedy.
I would have been fine with it. I just think people, it would have been too crazy. Like the headlines, even if he did agree to it, I think the headlines, they already make him as insane as they possibly can. They'd be like, two anti-vax brothers in Christ are running together to ruin the country. Like that's it. the money, the Pfizer money that went into that to slander them together would be insurmountable. But regardless, I think he makes a good point about Trump. Like, and that's kind of my continued point. You know, he talks about building the wall all the time. He didn't build a wall. He spent half of his presidency complaining about a football player who kneeled. You know, like it is, it's really frustrating to me. And he's been in politics for what, a decade now. It's just frustrating to me when people are like, yeah, he's the outsider. Like that. I'm not trying to say RFK is perfect, and I know it's a long shot that he wins, but I just think if we continue on with like what we've been doing, like we are either way, like it's still, even if Trump does push those boundaries, it's still kind of the uniparty, whether you like it or not.
I would say that RFK is more indentured to the swamp than, like, Trump's very indentured to the swamp too, but you know, I don't think RFK is the guy to really pull us out of. I think,
but it's not about him. It's about like the movement that it creates and the confidence that it will give voters if we can create another base of people that refuses to just accept, oh, well, it's the lesser of two evils and let's let these two parties control everything. Like, that's, it's not about RFK really. It's about like building on top of,
like, our country sucks because even if RFK were to win the presidency, everyone in Congress and Senate are still obliged to two parties, so it's not like he's ever gonna get anything done.
Yeah, they'd both fight him, other than people like Rand Paul, which are few and far between. So you're right, it would be, it'd be hard, it'd be very much an uphill battle either way. But that's my, that's why I think either way, like, we need to prove each state, especially here, like if we can prove state to state the power that another base of voters could have and that another option that Republicans and Democrats could have, it would change everything. But they just want everyone to fall into line. And you know what? We all do. We all do fall into line. Everyone just says, oh, well, now it's coming down to the stretch. Is it going to be Trump or Biden?
I'm starting to fall into line for Trump
myself. Yeah, I know. I know.
And like, the reason why I say it, though, is I you look at Biden, look who he's surrounded by. I mean, that's the option. Or there's RFK.
I get it.
Like the younger people around Trump are indeed those that are pushing back against any kind of, and I think the establishment can be underlined, one that promotes a lot of progressive values. So are you going to vote to continue to move the Overton window in the direction of progressivism that is the vessel of these elites and these globalists? Or do you vote to pull, like, I'll use an analogy I use often, is politics is like a boat that's being pulled into the ocean by a rope. How fast do you want that, you know, boat to hit the water? Progressivism is flying into that water. Conservatism is the one trying to hold back the boat from reaching the water. And I think if you, you know, I know, I'm with you that Trump is, he hasn't tried to drain the swamp, but he's at least the guy who's trying to hold the boat back from going to the water. Whereas a vote for Biden and even for RFK, where he's calling for reparations and such, is a tug towards the water, towards progressivism, towards globalism and elitism. So that's why I've really hitched my wagons to Trump. Is I don't think Trump's a good candidate by any means, but he's at least holding shit up, and maybe we'll reverse a little bit as to what we've seen these past couple of years towards the left, and things will change.
The party gives me no reason to believe that they'll be different. They keep shooting themselves in the foot and honestly just doing things that make their battle even tougher. Like, if they, and I understand why they reversed the Roe thing, but like, imagine if they didn't do that, like the leverage they've had, they would have right now. Like, everything would be different. The entire election would be different, and they can't, you know, they can't get out of their own way. And that's what concerns me. I'm not disagreeing with you. I think you're right. If Biden stays in here, it's going to keep being more of the same and more of the inflated prices, whether it's for energy, goods, all those things. Like, Americans are going to have to deal with that reality. So I understand, and from a policy standpoint, he is better, but I'm just scared either way, especially because now I think if Trump does win, it's last time he was actually very good at holding himself back in a sense of like using his political tools to go after his enemies. He didn't really do that last time. I think this time he would, because of what they've put him through. And
so what's, you know, going after his political enemies? Filing.
Well, I just think, yeah, I don't need this Game of Thrones.
No, I know.
You know, political world. I want someone who's going to do work for the people. And it's, I'm not convinced that that's what he's going to be focused on. I hope. I feel like all he cares about is getting like revenge anymore.
I could see that. Yeah. Do you think, I think a lot of that will be seen in his VP pick as to whether or not he's You know, do you think he goes? We had a guy on today, a congressman is from South Carolina, Norman, Representative Norman, who's the guy who actually was in Trump's ear on Saturday saying, you know, pick Nikki Haley, which caused a bunch of reports about Trump considering Nikki Haley as VP. Is there anyone you're leaning towards that would encourage you that Trump is serious about draining the swamp, that if you were to pick? Or
I don't know. I just kind of think that's just a platitude at this point. I don't think Trump's ever going to get close to, you know, quote unquote, draining the swamp at this point. Like, I don't think that will ever be a reality with him. Like, he needs his allies that he has.
Do you think they're working together? Like, it's just too, like, their overlords are all the same, and Biden's there to advance an agenda. Trump's there to cause division and chaos.
Trump as controlled opposition. I mean, that what a world that would be. But I mean,
there's a lot, like, the conspiracy forms. That's what it all is Trump is controlled opposition. That's why you have a lot of people leaning towards RFK, is they truly believe that Trump's part of this swamp that he often speaks about.
Well, that's why it's ironic with Bernie, too. He always talks about, you know, the evil big government and how terrible it is, but then he wants more government to fix it. So that's kind of the oxymoron it is. But I do think Trump definitely feels the way he does. I don't necessarily think, but again, he comes from the elite class and he's not like the common man. I try to emphasize that to people a lot too. Like, he just isn't. And that's nothing against him. I'm not mad at you if you're born with money or if you have a dad that can invest in you from a young age, but, like, you know, he isn't like you or I. Like, he's not just a normal American that like created a business and was successful. Like, he was surrounded by money and he would have been, you know, well off.
It's amazing that he is able to create that image of himself as the everyman.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how the hell he was able to do that. Especially, like, after The Apprentice and everything, where he was literally, like, you look at the image, the way it was filmed was essentially him sitting on a throne like he's, you know, royalty. Somehow he's able to turn that around. And
it's just because he just shoots from the hip. Like, he doesn't care. I think that's the one thing that makes people, you know, understand him as, like, you know, at least more relatable. But I wanted to get to this quick. I know we keep going in circles of the election, but CNBC put out a poll, and in every city or state, they gave you a salary range to be middle-class income. And in Pennsylvania, what do you think? Well, first of all, the range is insane. I don't know how that's even a range. Like, that's, it's essentially, I don't even want to say the number because it'll probably give you a hint, but it's crazy the depth of this number. But what do you think middle-class income range, like one number to one number in Pennsylvania this year?
Pennsylvania middle-class, and this is like two income earners, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Like 80 to like 110.
They say 48,780 to 146,340.
That's an enormous range.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what kind of, it's like $100,000 of range.
Yeah, how is that all middle? There's no way. Like, you can't afford a house on $46,000 salary. I'm sorry.
I mean, unless you're amazing at saving and you have no college debt, like, it's impossible.
I just want to do the math. 46,000 without taxes divided by 12 is 3,833 a year. Okay, so.
And then the top was 146,340.
Like, good luck finding a mortgage for a middle, like, middle-class neighborhood that's under, what, 2,100, 2,200?
Oh, if that, yeah.
So you're...
And that's probably like a townhome, like twin, like not a full
home. So let's say 3,000 is standard for a mortgage in Pennsylvania. So they're saying that you can live with an excess of $833 per month then, after paying your mortgage.
That's if you're like in Pennsylvania, sure. But if you're in Pittsburgh or Philly or the metro areas, Lehigh Valley, that's definitely tough. You could probably get away with that in, like, you know, State College area, though, Hershey area, like if you're living remotely enough.
Yeah, that's huge. What's it for Jersey, do you know? And where's PA standing?
I have the whole list here. Jersey is more, of course. Middle class income range in Jersey, 64,751 through 194,252.
What?
Yeah.
Dude, that's an enormous range.
These ranges are nuts. Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to go through the list. They didn't rank them. I'm just trying to go. It goes beyond income, obviously, and each state obviously has their own metric when it comes to costs.
Huh.
But you could on CNBC make it salary needed to be middle class, quote unquote, in every single
state. Yeah, I'm looking at it here. That's nuts.
Okay, so top 10, Maryland, New Jersey, Mass, Hawaii, California, New Hampshire, Wisconsin, Connecticut, Colorado, Virginia. Bottom 10, Mississippi, West Virginia, Arkansas, Louisiana, New Mexico, Alabama, Kentucky, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee. So the South wins out at being the cheapest.
Moving to Mississippi. Let's head down, do some radio. Down
there. I don't know if I could do it, dude.
What's the city in Mississippi?
We would stick Jackson, Mississippi, I think is a big city. But dude, we'd stick out like a sore thumb down there. They'd be like, get the hell out of here, you Yankees.
Like, right. I kind of had that a little bit in Indiana. Like when I went to high school, they're like, oh, you're from Jersey, huh? Judgmental.
Yeah, judge.
Secret Swirl says these boys are very insightful, but not entirely correct. Just because I'm mostly wrong, to be quite honest.
Yeah, I'm wrong very much. You could ask my old teachers. But I haven't done my homework on Trump. Dude, can you stop? My entire job is to cover this man. Like I'm not telling you to agree with me, but I definitely think that Trump isn't this, you know, perfect figure that some of our listeners make him out to be.
What, you wouldn't? Did you go to the rally? I don't even remember.
No, I didn't. I couldn't make it. It was Mother's Day and I had to see my aunt, my nana, my mom. So it was a lot, but I wish it looked mulligans look crazy. Like, it looks so much fun.
Freaking amazing. And he says, what about Texas? 48,690 to 146,070. Let's try and pull up some mulligans before we get out of here. Anything good to watch that you're watching right now?
I did just see, I have been so busy. I haven't watched as much this week. I've been watching a lot of the NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs, to be honest, in my spare time, and watching the Phillies just dominate everyone in the MLB. But I'd say check out when you have the time. There's a new trailer for a Dune spinoff series that's coming out on HBO. It's set, I believe, 100 years before the first Dune, and kind of tells you about how the family came into power. And the Bene Gesserit. So definitely, if you watch Dune 1 and 2, that'll be something.
I've yet to watch 2 yet, but you tell me it's amazing, right?
It's awesome. It's the best, yeah. If I would definitely, I know you got your big screen TV downstairs now. That's definitely a weekend movie night. One night, you'll love it.
I didn't think about that. I don't have Max right now, but I think for this, I might get it back.
10,000 years before the birth of Paul Atreides, before the universe would know us as the Bene Gesserit, we founded a sisterhood. Assigned to the great houses to help them sift truth from lies.
Only question I have is it oversaturation? Are they doing too much with Dune now?
I don't know. I like the spinoff series. I think HBO has been doing a really good job in general with that stuff. Like the House of the Dragon, the spinoff for Game of Thrones is definitely better than the ending of Game of Thrones. And as well as there's a Penguin series coming out, a spinoff of the new Batman movies that are out. I think that looks good. Outstanding. I just trust HBO, I guess is what I'm trying to say, because they really barely ever miss with this kind of stuff.
Minnie says, don't let Dan discuss Apple TV. Go watch Silo. Oh, you know what? I actually do have something to discuss from Apple TV, but I don't think I have it pulled up here. There's a caller, Real Guido, who calls in, and he's telling us that he's actually playing a part in a upcoming Apple TV release about Philadelphia. Did you hear about they're like doing a Wire? It's called Sinking Spring. It's Ridley Scott's directing it. It's Dennis DeFoya's novel, Dope Thief. It's being turned into a series, and it takes place in Philadelphia, and it's kind of like a Wire almost kind of series. So keep an eye out for that one, Minnie, on Apple TV Plus.
That sounds good. I was just going to say, we barely even talk because it's been so busy, whether it was Mulligans, I know you're pulling that up, or on top of that, just all the craziness going on lately with Kensington and the city, with them finally tearing that up. I know we didn't get to talk about that too much, but I know your old neighborhood, Port Richmond, people there have been complaining a bit just because a lot of the carryover is there. And there's still people in Kensington. They're just not allowing encampments and they're cleaning the streets every single day. And they have a heavy police presence. But, you know, I guess it's a start, if anything.
Yeah. Moving them out, street sleepers and that curfew that they passed. And I saw that you sent me the article about now curfews popping up in different places in Philadelphia. And yeah, I guess you would assume that when, you know, you clear people out of a place and don't necessarily give them anywhere to land, that they're just going to go into nearby neighborhoods and such. West Philly, you're also hearing that a lot of people are appearing in, yeah, obviously Port Richmond being abutting to Kensington. And it's sad, but the thing is, like, I don't know, we closed, and you can't mention insane asylums, you know, for people with mental health deficiencies and that need the help. And can you force people into addiction recovery? I don't know. So what is the solution then? Like, how do you clear out Kensington? Where do you put them?
I mean, I think you just have to crack down on the drug sales. Like, that seems like that's still happening. And I think, you know, that is going to lead to some tough situations. Like, I don't want any more violence to happen, but that could create definitely a violent situation for the police to deal with if they really crack down on these drugs and the people that run the drug markets here in Kensington and all the money that's flowed through there. And I mean, I know we've talked about it. Watch the Channel 5 News video with Callahan that tells you everything about it. And that, you know, I think that that's the next step. And I'm sure they're hesitant about it, but they do have to have a really solid plan to deal with that, because you both of us know, like, there will be, it's not going to go down without a fight. So
essentially what we learned in that Channel 5 video with Andrew Callahan is that there's tranks becoming the overwhelming, you know, thing that's being sent into fentanyl that's causing a lot of deaths. And
that's why people come here.
Yes. It's because they can find trank, and trank and fentanyl are largely using Chinese material through the Mexican cartel as a vector. And there are other ways to now acquire the fentanyl via directly from Chinese companies, and the cartels have said about it, which is why you see a lot of the violence. But my reason for going down this path is, even if we take the kids off the corner, isn't the cartel just too big to fail, essentially, that they'll just find other kids that they can pay to go out? Like how can...
This is why it comes
to the city of Philadelphia take on the cartel and end this fentanyl. How do you get the help, get them out?
Because it comes down to us as a city and people. That's the problem. That's what people don't understand. Like, and I know that sounds cliche because the city and police officers even allude to that, but we do. Like, we need parents to know which kids are on the corner of their block and who their friends are hanging out with. And they need to know the parents of their friends, and they have to communicate. Like, this really comes down to these communities becoming communities again, and people holding, whether it's their own kids or the people in their neighborhoods, accountable, because that is the problem. Nobody's held accountable. Nobody knows anything. There's barely any, and I get it. There's a lot of hardships, especially in these communities, moms, dads working 2-3 jobs just to put food on the table. Like, I get that. But I think at the end of the day, we can't just, there's not going to be a savior. There's not going to be a Jesus. It's the same thing with the political election. This comes down to us. Like, if we do not change, we can't expect our leaders to fix all this shit. And that is what it comes down to. We need to be more aware in all of our communities, all of us as Philadelphians. Like, those people need to step up. And I'm not trying to blame them. I'm not trying to victim blame. But this isn't, we can't do it alone. Everyone needs to have a hand in this.
But you have a culture that's actively diminishing the call for a nuclear family. We're living in a society now where it's single parents that are, you know, running the gamut, especially in lower income neighborhoods. Like, what do you do? Do you give recreational centers to these kids to distract them? Like, how do you change as a society that thought process? Do you, like, you can't
I think
have
we
people
really
stop having kids, you know?
We need a culture change in the city. Like, I know that's a big thing, but, like, we really do. And I think that starts with parents. The police obviously can only do so much. I think the city leaders also can only do so much. Until we have a culture change and we respect each other again, and we have essentially the communities our ancestors said we had, where there'd be block parties every weekend and everyone be sweeping their streets and saying hello and, you know everyone down their block. Like, until, and I'm not saying we are going to have some sort of utopia, but until we like put out that effort to be a community like that again, and everyone's scared of getting home alive, like, then yeah, this is going to continue to be a terrible situation for a lot of people. Like anyone, really, and nobody wants that.
How does society change at all? I just...
We need to stop acting like someone's going to come and fix it. Like, I think that's the problem with politics. Everyone thinks if you vote for one person, it can just change the world. When in reality, it comes down
to... Not from the top down, though? I mean...
Sure, top down is it's a big part of the problem, but that's why we kind of, like, my whole point is, if we're grassroots and bottom up, like, that's what we need to do. Like, we need to rally around our communities, making our communities better, and hopefully those leaders rise to the top eventually. I know it's a lot of work. Yeah. I get it. And just people don't ever want to put in the work, and we just become complacent with the system. And that's, I think, entirely the problem.
Yeah, it's a hard question to answer, and I'm happy. I mean, you gave me a pretty decent one there, because I just feel like I don't want to be the guy that's hammering the same thing over and over again, but like, is TikTok, is social media playing into this as well? And would a control of that have any kind of difference?
Yeah, I think partially, but again, like, I think the only reason even TikTok is popular is because people were sick of like the controlled environment of like a YouTube or an Instagram or a Facebook. And I mean, TikTok's pretty much become that as well. But I think all of these places, like you said, they're kind of a place where, you know, it's, I guess, a town square, for lack of a better term. And all these people want to be able to talk about these problems. And that's, but on the other hand, that's what scares me about the government banning it. Cause I think TikTok's one of the places where people have been honest lately and haven't been necessarily monetized. So why do they want to shut it down? Like, that concerns me a little bit too. But I get any kid, like, I read an op-ed. There's actually, if you check out the Inquirer, there's a new op-ed recently about how social media has stolen adolescence and like innocence of children. And they have to have this digital persona, an expectation to live up to by the time they're like 8 years old. And it like broke my heart. Cause dude, I mean, at least I had social media, but at least it was like, you know, I was like 14, 15, 16. Like, I was a little bit older. It wasn't as like abrasive. Now these kids, it's like in another appendage of their body, this device. And if they don't have it, like, they go insane. And
I was reading a story. Like, so this was actually a topic on Reddit recently as to the, how kids have gotten so addicted to social media. Just sad. There's a person telling a story. I mean, it's an anecdote and you don't know if it's true or not, but about a kid who, instead of, you know, Minecraft being the biggest game, right? And when we were kids, when we would imagine, we would imagine playing Minecraft in real life, you know, building, you know, forts and stuff like that. Where kids, at least according to this person, their kid will imaginarily play a video game where they're imagining what they're doing in Minecraft, rather than actually actively going out and pretending like they're playing Minecraft. They're actually playing Minecraft in their mind while, you know, looking at their hands, essentially like they're playing a handheld video game. And there's another story of a toddler who had their iPad taken away and still they were trying to swipe. You know, it's what the hell are we doing to our kids' brains with technology? Are you the kind of guy that, like, if you and when you have kids, are you going to police how much your toddler can use
the iPad? And all? Yeah, no, the kid won't be on social media at all. And no screen time other than, like, you know, putting on a stupid video for like 10 minutes, if that, like, just to give them a little entertainment. Like, there's no way my kid will have an iPad before the age of 4, you know, and just sitting in the stroller being mesmerized by the screen as big as their leg, you know. Right. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Such a pet peeve, too, when you're sitting in a restaurant and the parent not only hands the iPad to the kid, but turns it on full volume.
Yep, yep.
It's the worst. We could do a whole show. I was very pet peevish on today's show. I don't know why I'm pulling this up, but it's been mentioned like 5 times today. And this is like now legitimately, because they kept talking about in the Dom Show chat, too. So this is for you, Secret Scroll. Oh, you know what? I turned off the volume. I think that's the entire point, isn't it?
There's nothing I admire more than the spirit of independence, but sometimes it can be carried too far. For instance, our group is known for absolute precision. All the other girls are doing this dance one way, and you're doing it another.
I'm sorry.
But I don't know that part of the routine.
Would you like to try it with me?
I'd love to.
Tommy, let's have the second 24 bars. Ready? One and two.
But this video is Spirit Squirrel's spirit animal. Or Secret Squirrel's spirit animal. Okay. So go watch the rest of that.
Yeah, I might have to. That was enticing enough.
Yeah. Oh, you told me to bring up Mulligans. So I brought up Mulligans. Here's that.
And shout out to...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say shout out to Susie. She said her her daughters volunteer with a church in Kensington with all this stuff going on. So that's great.
She also says she feels very unsafe for the kid, though. So,
yeah, I mean, I've been over there at times lately, and I can understand that. But at least there's a ton of cops over there now. So,
yeah. Yeah. And she's doing well. She's doing good for, you know, society, the community. And I feel like a lot of times, though, like I want to say this too, we talk about the danger of Kensington, but speaking with some of these activists that are out there, usually they're seen as people that are trying to do good. So they're respected.
Yeah.
And it's generally safe for those individuals. So just putting that out there if it makes you sleep any easier. Singers are again, that's Mulligan's Wildwood.
I heard the rumor that there's $2 draft beers at Mulligan's. I didn't hear if that was confirmed or not.
I don't know if it is confirmed, if that's true, but I know they got some great deals, and I wouldn't be surprised.
That's a deal of the century in this Biden economy, so I might have to get down there either way.
Thing is he selling pints, or is he selling shots of beer for $2.50?
That's true.
Johnny doing some shrinkflation? and then one final thing, Anthony, I just want to recommend this to all the listeners. I want to play back a trailer. Did you check out Late Night with the Devil yet?
I started it. I did not get through it all the way yet.
You don't like it?
No, I do. I do. I've been so busy this week, and I was like falling asleep watching it.
Let's see. Will this work?
We are back in 5, 4. Now, here's Mr. Midnight, Jack Darrow.
Oh, good evening, Night Owls, and thank you for allowing me into your living rooms once again. Night Owls, we've got a heck of a show in store for you tonight, and I'm very excited for you to see it all unfold before your very eyes. I really hope you love it. Gosh, I hope you love it. Please love it. Love it.
I'm trying to host a national syndicated talk show,
and I'm trying.
So long story short, he's challenging Johnny Carson, 70s talk show, and a member of the Bohemian Grove, so it plays into my love of conspiracy theories. Essentially sells out his soul to the devil, and this is him inviting the devil onto his late night show, and how they film it, you see there. That's why I wanted to play it back. It's you're watching it like you're watching the episode of Late Night, and then in breaks, black and white, you have the behind the scenes footage as things unravel, and they realize that they are being there's some kind of entity here. But I bring it up because, Anthony, I know you're a fan of horror, and I do think it's something that you might like, and some of our
love that actor as well. So I think, yeah, I'm definitely gonna. It was just so. I shouldn't have put it on when I did. I was like half asleep, but I'll watch it this weekend and we'll talk about it next week.
It's one of those movies you got to see as it unfolds. And it's David Dash Malshian, and I think he had like a drug addiction that he came back from too. Anthony, any final thoughts? Eagles, Phillies. Eagles schedule out. Phillies on a roll.
I'm not going to overreact, but I love the Eagles draft. And I think given how the schedule looks and how they end the season at home, I think this is an 11-win team. I'll stake my claim there. They could even get 12-13, but I think they win the division this year and they could be an 11-win team. I don't think Dallas really improved, so I'm not going to overreact. Some of the videos were great. The Chargers video making fun of Harrison Butker was awesome with all that crazy shit going on. And the Phillies, man, I'm not going to overreact there either, but they look as good as they've ever looked for the past 3 years.
Who's the biggest threat to in the NFC to the Eagles reaching the Super Bowl?
That's a good question.
Because I can't name one, to be quite honest.
I mean, I would still say, I'd still say the Niners. Yeah, the Niners or the Cowboys. Yeah. Still, I have
high hopes.
Yeah, it's going to be a crazy year, but I think the Eagles have filled their holes very. You know, they I didn't mean it. Howie found a way to replace everything we needed to, and the secondary is much improved. So,
yeah. And Phil, it's nice to see they're doing great. But I gotta say, I haven't been able to watch much Phillies because Real Housewives of New Jersey's back on, and because of that, we're not only watching the new season, we're going back and watching old episodes as well. So I'm getting a whole dose of Teresa Giudice and friends, and I don't know if you've had to endure that as well.
I haven't watched that yet, but I'm sure on Mary's radar. So I'll keep all of you updated with my Teresa and her daughter going to college now. Whatever the hell they're doing, they're crazy shit.
She's sad. They're going off to college, and the feud continues between the family.
That's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's all ridiculous. I don't know how. I get it though. It's essentially wrestling without
the fighting. It's WWE. Yeah,
it's WWE without the fighting. But I don't know if there's a lot of crossover between our listeners and Real Housewives fans. So it's probably more in the combo there. We can probably do more wrestling talk though. I don't know. You into wrestling? No, right?
I mean, I'm happy to talk about it, but I'm not. You know, you're the expert here when it comes to wrestling.
Yeah. Well. You're the expert in UFC, so maybe we'll get some fight talks going.
Yeah, it's true. That's true.
Everyone's saying goodbye in the chat. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Anthony, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Just thank you all for listening. We'll be live again tomorrow. I'll be with Kale and then with Dawn with you 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. Keep an eye out, and we'll have stuff posting all over social media over the weekend, all our clips from the week. And if you missed any of our old content, the Trump interview, Rand Paul events, all on our YouTube, youtube.com/1210WPHT.
Yeah, screw Real Housewives. Go watch 1210 content. Yeah. You're right. All right. Yeah, Minnie says, hug your loved one and tell them you love them. I love your messages, Minnie. You always have such positivity. It's very nice to hear from you. All right. Tune in to Dom Giordano program tomorrow at noon. I'll be right there, and we'll be back here with the other side next week. Thank you, everybody. Have a good one.
Yeah.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Bryan Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.